from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wārua ki te hāhi. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Glory to God. Jesus predicts his death. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongapai tēnei ā te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoemitia ia te kupu mana.
Morena. Good morning. Ko Ian Scarlett, tōku ingoa. This morning, as you can see on the screen, I'd like to explore with you the subject of loss and renewal. It's something we've all experienced many times. And because loss is painful, we're often inclined to turn away from it or close our eyes to it. You may remember, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, Andrew Shepherd challenged us about not turning away from grief and loss, but embracing it. In our gospel reading, thank you, Sue, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." When Jesus likened his life to a kernel of wheat that would die, but in dying produced many seeds, he was describing the pattern of loss and renewal that occurs throughout our lives and in the world around us. It occurs when we fall in love and commit our lives to sharing life with our love mate. If you've experienced that, you'll know that you chose to let parts of your previous life go so that you could be with your love mate. Early in our marriage, I remember saying goodbye to a very scruffy, oversized, hand-knitted jersey. It had been my go-to student attire when I was at the University of Canterbury, and it was kind of an old friend. In fact, I'd knitted the jersey myself. But when it began to dawn on me that Jenny didn't like my tired, old-looking jersey, I didn't want to wear it anymore. If you've been a parent, then there were sacrifices you made for the life of your children to flourish and grow. Hobbies and interests that were put aside for a season so you could keep up with their growing needs. When our children were teenagers, I remember spending an awful lot of time being their taxi service to all sorts of activities. But we did have some great conversations in the car. If you've been caring for a sick loved one, I'm sure you could name the parts of your life that you've put on the shelf so that they might live with dignity, compassion, and love. Then there are the costs, the losses we pay for an education or a career. We choose certain losses and let go of some things so that others may arise. For every choice we make, every yes we say, there's at least one no, and probably many no's. In the month before my year 11 secondary school end of year exams, those of you who remember back that far, that was school certificate, I chose to spend the evenings studying because I wanted to get good results. I could hear other young people enjoying the long evenings, it was November, outside, and I thought, I'd love to join them, but my longing for good results kept me in the study. The Bible includes many stories of loss and renewal, in addition to Jesus' death and resurrection. For example, Abram left his country and his extended family to become the father of a new nation and a blessing to all peoples. James and John left their father, their boats, and nets to follow Jesus and become his disciples. Loss and renewal are also central to our experience as followers of Jesus. You'll remember that when we were baptized, Paul tells us that our old life of putting ourselves first was buried with Christ in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And we kind of experience that at baptism. And then every time we share in the Lord's table, we're reminded of loss and renewal by the words that we say. You can say them with me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So, here's the challenge for us. In our lives, what is the Holy Spirit challenging us to let go of? Is there something that we might need to leave behind? What needs to die so that something more of the Spirit's life can arise in us? Our gospel reading is set in the context of the Feast of Passover. That was the celebration of the children of Israel leaving slavery in Egypt and moving into a whole new life with God at the center in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that went with them through the wilderness. Like them, as we approach Easter, we're being invited to move into new life. At the beginning of our reading, some Greeks, people who were not Jewish, in other words, came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, which was kind of way up north in Israel, and there were lots of non-Jewish people in Bethsaida, so that's probably why they went to see Philip. And they said to him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Just imagine that you were one of the people who came to Philip and asked that question. Why would you want to see Jesus? What had Jesus done or said that would make you want to ask to see him? What do you think? Any thoughts? Healing, yes. And maybe that some of the people who came to Jesus that day weren't feeling all that well, and they were, so we'd like to see Jesus. He might make us, heal us. Yeah, anything else that you, crosses your mind?
Challenging statements.
Challenging statements, yes. Some of his teaching was pretty challenging, wasn't it? Any other thoughts?
Charismatic personality.
Charismatic personality, yes. He was kind of, crowds were attracted to him, weren't they? And if crowds were attracted, then I wanted to be there with them. I guess if I was in Jerusalem that day, I'd want to be one of those people who were saying, I'd like to see Jesus too, wouldn't you? So, when Philip and Andrew told Jesus about the people who were asking to see him, Jesus responded by speaking to them directly using the beautiful picture of a kernel of wheat falling to the ground and dying so that it produces many seeds. Reflecting on his experiences of loss and suffering, just a few years before he was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "As my sufferings mounted, I soon realized that there were two ways that I could respond to my situation. Either to react with bitterness, or seek to transform the suffering into a creative force. I decided to follow the latter course. Recognizing the necessity for suffering, I tried to make of it a virtue." He went on to say, "The suffering and agonizing moments through which I have passed over the last few years have also drawn me closer to God. More than ever before, I am convinced of the reality of a personal God." As Dr. King's comments indicate, the picture of a seed dying refers to more than just physical death. We experience a huge range of losses
in everyday life. There's the loss of a loved one, loss of a relationship, loss of health, lost opportunities, and loss of a dream. They're all losses we didn't want or ask for. Other times, we choose our losses when we give up parts of ourselves for another person. And sometimes, there are the things we need to let go of, things that we hold on to that deny us the fullness of life that God offers. Could be fear, it could be anger or resentment, could be regret and disappointment, it could be guilt, it could be just the need to be right, or it could be the approval of others. Following Jesus is being a kernel of wheat that falls to the ground and dies so that it produces many seeds. It's the letting go and leaving behind that makes room for new life to arise. Recently, we experienced an extended family loss we weren't expecting. One of our sons-in-law lost his brother, aged only 44, to a major heart attack. At the Tangi, we were so impressed with the way our son-in-law, his mum and sister, and our grandchildren so openly expressed their grief, spoke so genuinely about their brother, son, and uncle, and were supported so lovingly by their extended whānau. We really admired the way everyone embraced their loss and grief. And I'd like to tell you a little story of a lost dream that I had. Back in the mid-1990s, I dreamed about becoming involved in training people for Christian ministry. At the time, I was working as an Elam Church pastor and as a secondary school mathematics teacher. I wanted to combine my love for God and his people with my passion for education. So over the next 10 years, with fantastic support from Jenny, I completed further study in theology and then worked as Dean of Students at the Wellington campus of Ministry Training College of New Zealand. This is all associated with the Elam Church in Wellington. During 2004, due to a combination of deeply challenging circumstances, my role at the college came to an end. I was kind of shattered. On the one hand, I applied for a few positions and was really thrilled when NZQA, the New Zealand Qualifications Authority, offered me a very exciting role. But at the same time, I really felt the loss of my training people for ministry dream. And during the next couple of years, I struggled with that. I remember going to our congregation's weekly church prayer meeting. It was on a Tuesday afternoon, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, after work, and we'd meet together and we'd worship and pray for an hour, as the congregation. And it was during those times that I really felt the Holy Spirit starting to heal my broken heart. And at the same time, I began to find my new role at NZQA incredibly fulfilling. It felt like I discovered a whole new way of serving the Lord beyond working in a Christian setting. And it was like it was a brand new gift. And looking back, I just kind of feel like it was just an example of loss and renewal. And the end of the story is incredibly... a few months after I retired and ceased paid employment at NZQA, an opportunity to provide admin support to the ordination training program in our diocese was presented to me. I accepted the voluntary role and felt really excited that my dream of being involved in training people for ministry was coming back to life, but in quite a different way and in a completely different context. That was 2 years ago, and I just feel really grateful for the way the Lord has directed us and for the way he's created renewal when we've experienced loss. This pattern of loss and renewal is the central theme of Easter, which ends with the empty tomb, the beginning of a new day, and the renewal of life. Jesus is the single kernel that became the bread of life. Now, when we plant a seed, we don't expect to see a sprout the next day or even the day after. Growth takes time, doesn't it? Usually longer than we want it to. And that was my experience as I kind of recovered from the loss of that dream. But I want to say this, even when unseen or unrecognized, the power and life of the Spirit are present and at work in the depths of our lives. In those dark and hidden places, the Holy Spirit's at work producing new life. So my challenge for us is, let's face our experiences of loss with fresh courage as we make room for God's Spirit to bring renewal. And I'd like to finish with some words that Jesus said to the disciples after he'd spoken to them about his death. He said this: don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the single kernel that died and became the bread of life for us. Please fill us with fresh courage and strength as we make room for your Spirit to bring new life out of our experiences of grief and loss. Amen.